Software. It can be the greatest part of a project, or it can be the biggest headache you can possibly imagine. Paying attention to quality in software is not only a smart investment, it can be a competitive advantage for you, and it can keep you out of a lot of trouble, and it can deliver and really help your career, delivering a great product. Hi, and welcome to everyone. This is Don Dingy, and I'm part of the editorial staff with Open Systems Media. I'll be your moderator for today's program on Focus on Software Quality, Traceability, Collaboration Reduces Costs, sponsored by IBM. Let's take a quick look at our agenda. I'll give you a tour of our tools. We'll give you just a couple thoughts on today's topic, and then we'll get to the guest that you came to hear, the expert on this. And then a team will take your questions in a question and answer session where you get to participate. If you've been with us before, here I am once again. Bear with me a little bit if it's your first time. Thanks for joining, and here's some viewing tips for today's session. So you are seeing slides on the right half of your screen, and I promise you there's a lot of good stuff on them. If you'd like, you can view those slides in a larger view by clicking the Enlarge Slides button. You can also download the material used today by clicking the Download button, and there are some backup slides in that PDF, so you may want to do that. You can invite a friend who should be watching this instead of Facebooking or something like that, and then that question box that I mentioned on the lower left-hand side of the screen, there is the Ask a Question box. Go ahead and type your questions in there. We'll be selecting questions from your submissions. Just hit Submit Question when you're ready. So let's talk about a brief introduction to this topic, my favorite software quality gone wrong story. This isn't just a test. This is really about careers and products and reputations and bigger things at stake than just a little bit of code going wrong. So what would happen if you wrote this really small module of code to relieve a capacity problem with your email system, and you tested that module, and it worked great, and it wasn't supposed to bother anything else in the system, famous last words, and you plugged it into your code base, and your email network came to a grinding halt. You might want to ask the people at RIM what happened to their BlackBerry network in February of 2008. That was a software quality problem, a quintessential software quality problem. Really could have been avoided through better software testing, and not just testing of the module, which they did, but testing of the entire system with that module to a set of requirements. So that is one of the prime examples of what happens when you don't test and why you want to focus on quality to reduce software costs. It's not only the development costs that's at stake, but things like product recalls and lost quality, lost time, all those kinds of things. So wanted to bring in our expert today who can speak to these issues in a lot more detail. I'm going to go ahead and introduce Dan Rasmussen. He has over 20 years of industry experience as a systems and software developer in aerospace, defense, medical, and networking industries. Most recently, Dan has been leading the development of the Rhapsody Proof of Technology Initiative as a senior IT specialist for IBM Rational. He is an avid Linux enthusiast and also an avid collector of vintage technology. We'll have to ask him what that technology is. He holds a BS in mathematics from the University of Massachusetts Amherst and an MSCS from the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. Dan, we are ready for you to begin. Dan, if we get you off of mute, we will cue you up and go ahead and begin the presentation. Sorry, folks, one moment. We'll get Dan back with us here briefly, and then we'll be ready to start.
Hello? Anybody there?
We can hear you, Dan.
Oh, you can?
There we go. Yes, you know that's what happens when we press the mute button during sound check. And I'm sorry, Dan. You here? Dan is with us. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate the audience patience. So Dan, we're ready to begin. We've read your bio and you're all set.
Okay, great. Thanks. I have been talking over here. I was getting myself in a little bit of a state of panic, but Now I can relax again. Thank you for that nice introduction, Don, and the introduction to today's topic. Again, my name is Dan Rasmussen. I'm a senior IT specialist with IBM Rational, and I do specialize in systems development and particularly in the quality space of the systems world. Don was asking about vintage technology. Yes, I am a hobbyist. I collect everything from antique tube radios, and by the way, everything I collect I also repair. Vintage tube radios, vintage hi-fi equipment, vintage 80s video games, and so on. And actually, I currently have an article in the issue of Make Magazine. Some of you may have heard of it. It's from O'Reilly. It's currently on the newsstand on a device that I co-invented with my 10-year-old daughter. It's called an autophenakistoscope. And if you have questions about that, just drop me an email or something later on, and I can tell you all about it, or pick up the latest issue of Make. So I did mention a moment ago that I specialize in systems development. And this is IBM sort of likes to divide the world up into the IT world and the systems world. And that meaning the systems world is primarily what most of us think of as the embedded space or real-time embedded space, and the IT world is everybody else. And I do specialize in the systems space. However, all of the concepts that I'm going to be talking about when it comes to quality really are applicable to each. Where things change a bit are the tools that we apply to it. The other thing I always like to mention is that we're IBM, we've got lots of products, and you are going to hear what you may think of as an alphabet soup of products today. Yes, I will mention many products, but what I really would like the audience to focus on is not the product names, but the capabilities that we're talking about. So let's take a look at the agenda that we're going to be talking to today. We're going to look at the cost impact of poor quality, why improved quality reduces costs, and how integrating requirements engineering and quality management processes can help you avoid costly rework and produce higher quality products. And of course, as I already mentioned, we're going to talk about what IBM solutions can help you in this endeavor towards better quality. So I assume most of you are here to listen because you're facing quality issues. And if you think you're alone in that quality struggle, I have news for you. As an industry, we are really struggling with quality. Take a look at some of these statistics. Only 34% of software projects are deemed successful. 50% of outsourced products are expected to underperform. And only 37% are satisfied with the speed of software development. Time to market is just critical in this industry. And only 42% of users are satisfied with project quality. So there are many barriers to quality software, and here we've outlined a few. Those barriers can be boiled down into geographic barriers that result in poor communication, language and culture differences, process gaps, and so on, organizational barriers, lack of effective collaboration between your organization, between elements of your organization, weak governance, what's going on with the project, and how do I fix problems as they arise. Infrastructure barriers, incompatible tools, multiple repositories, this tool doesn't talk to that tool, so on and so forth. And in case you missed it on that last slide, software-related downtimes are costing the industry nearly $300 billion annually. That's billion with a B. So what's going on? 40% of unplanned downtime is caused by software application failures. 86% of IT projects experience performance problems. 80% of business applications are not tested properly before being released into production. And this is part of my specialty. I talk to a lot of customers about proper and complete testing. And one of the things I always like to say to customers is we say to our customers is they don't want their customers testing their software for them. 50% of applications put into production are later rolled back due to not meeting quality goals. So what's causing this? Competition is forcing faster delivery cycles. Again, it's time to market. You got to be there first, and we're in a hurry to get there. I've heard a lot of this lately, pressure to dramatically reduce IT costs. Geographically distributed teams are creating new issues, communications issues, all sorts of things. Solutions are becoming much more complex. You know, in the systems world, it's easy to point to. In the systems world, we are gradually to rapidly replacing mechanical and electrical complexity. We're pushing that complexity down into the software. And the software on these embedded devices is growing exponentially from year to year and getting much, much more complex. And similar issues are happening on the IT side of the world where we're just expecting more and more capability out of the software that we're developing. And of course, it can be very expensive to build and simulate test environments so that we are replicating the environment that our customers are going to see. In the vein of outsourcing and in using third-party code, there's less and less source code is built in-house. We're bringing it in. We're bringing it from business partners. We're OEMing it from the outside world. And the quality of that source code is not always well understood. And, of course, defects are still being found too late in the development lifecycle. And, of course, change is complicating the delivery of software, the delivery of quality software. Howard Stringer, chairman and CEO of Sony, says, "We will fight our battles not on the low road to commoditization, but on the high road of innovation." And what is innovation? Innovation is change. This is change we embrace. This is change as a competitive advantage. But change comes from all over. Unexpected market shifts, escalating customer expectations, intensified competitions, globalizations, and so on. CEOs and other organization leads feel they are inundated with change. So what can we do about it? Well, we can start by understanding the entire application quality lifecycle, examining the source of our defects as well as how to fix them, enable team collaboration and best practices, whether teams are co-located or across the world, provide incremental functionality, incremental integration points, and automate as much as possible. Every time we integrate is an opportunity for testing. And if we can put automated solutions so that we are continuously testing our code as code is checked in, we're going to drive those bugs out sooner than later. Govern with your business goals in focus. In order to govern, in order to handle problems and issues as they arise, you need visibility. We can help you with that. And finally, we want to expand our measurement of quality beyond just code defects. There are many ways to measure the quality of software beyond that. We've been stuck on slock and bug count for a very long time, and the tools have come a long way. We can help you with that measurement as well. So we're going to deliver on those five actions with collaboration, automation, and reporting to help lead us to predictable, consistent, and efficient software delivery. And we're going to dig into this deeper shortly. So back to our agenda. Why improved quality reduces costs? So I think we all well understand that as a defect moves through the software development lifecycle from requirements all the way through customer release, when we find that defect, depending on which where we are in that software lifecycle, is going to cost us more. As little as, according to these statistics, as little as $80 per defect if we catch that defect during the requirements phase, all the way out to, and this is on average, $7,600 a defect once it's released as a product. Now, getting back to my systems background, when I do I have a systems quality talk that I do sometimes, and I like to talk about the billion-dollar defect. There was recently, within the last year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe 5 years, there was a software defect that resulted in the destruction of a very expensive rocket and its payload. So the cost of a defect, while on average, if it gets out into the field, can be relatively high, sometimes it can be extremely high. And Don also cited a great statistic there with RIM earlier in this talk. So where are defects introduced and where are they found? Now, one of the things I should mention here is just an aside, is normally the slide deck has animations built into it, but all the animations are played out, so things don't always make complete sense and things get busy kind of fast on these things. But the fact of the matter is we've had many studies that show the majority of defects are introduced during the requirements and design phase, and they are generally not found until they get to quality assurance, the testing phase. And that is a problem. We need to find defects earlier. But I'd also like to take a moment here, and I promise you this is the only time I'll bring it up, is to talk about all those defects that are introduced early. The focus of this webinar is finding those defects as early as possible, but how about putting fewer defects into the system to begin with? Model-driven development has been proven to introduce fewer defects in the requirements and design phase of product development, and I would love to talk to anybody about that. If there is interest in the audience, just let us know. But now I'll return to the application lifecycle quality talk. So let's talk a bit about the application lifecycle and how the quality lifecycle overlays that. The application lifecycle is basically, in most organizations anyway, we have a requirements phase, we have a development phase, we have a verification phase, and then we deploy to production. I would like to talk about the benefits of taking those requirements, and these requirements should be formally managed through a requirements management system, associating those requirements not only with the design elements, the model elements, and the code elements, that are required to build them, but also associating those requirements with the test plans that we're going to use to test them with. This provides all sorts of benefits through traceability so that we can understand, for instance, when a change has been made, which requirements that change touches, so that we know moving ahead what incremental functionality we have just introduced. If we tie those requirements to our test plans, and as we move through our development lifecycle, we see that our tests go from being executed and failing or not being executed to being executed and passing, we have a good idea of how far along we are towards release and understand when we have met our exit criteria. Also, by tying those requirements to our test plans, we have good visibility into where most of the bang for the buck we're going to get when we decide on which of those test plans we want to automate. And, of course, all this information can be used to provide better release notes, better documentation to our customers once a product is released. So IBM has looked internally, looked at many of the customers and very successful companies, and looked at how improving software quality has and what results that has produced. Things like comprehensive test process modeling, integrated end-to-end technology, things that help us reduce manual test efforts, utilizing industry-based test solutions, advanced defect analysis and quality management processes. These types of things, the kinds of things we're talking about today, have produced quality improvements ranging from between 30 and 70% for these companies. Cycle time improvements, time to market improvements of 20 to 50% for these companies, and cost reductions of 25 to 60%. And part of what we want to accomplish here, and I hope you're starting to understand what we want to get at, is shedding light on the state of the development of your software as we move through that life cycle. Rules, metrics, and processes are now available to provide this visibility. And this includes something, and I can't claim coining this term, the development blind spot. I think most of us have a good idea. We can look at the requirements analysis phase and see how many requirements do we have defined, and it's easy to look at a requirements document and understand how complete it is. On the quality end of things, when we get to quality and integration testing and system testing and all those kinds of things, it can be fairly easy to see the state of things on the quality side. But that piece in the middle, that development blind spot, where it is very difficult, depending on your organization, to understand the state of the development, to understand what is going on during that development phase. And wouldn't it be great to have a dashboard view and standard reports of the state of this effort? Not only that moment-to-moment status to help identify problem areas early, this is where we want to get to. Now, I have to confess that on this slide with all the numbers, I didn't sit down and study these numbers. They're all well cited in the supporting documentation I have here. But the bottom line is, studies have shown, IBM Global Business Solutions have collected over 4 years of data. And they have shown that an average savings per project, adopting the kinds of techniques and tools that we're using here, they are saving over $500,000 on that project. And here you see a quantified example of those savings. Okay, let's move on to how integrated requirements engineering quality management processes can help avoid costly rework and produce higher quality results. And here we have one of those animated slides that has been all played out. Well, the bottom line here, it's all about traceability. IBM Rational offers unique solutions that will provide traceability not only between requirements, design, and implementation artifacts, but also traceability to those from those requirements into test cases and test scripts. Solution allows the team to share a common set of requirements. Okay, we want everybody looking at the same repository. It assures that we don't miss any critical requirements and helps us understand the impact of change requirements and the impact of defects. And this next slide, again, all played out. This particular slide has a really cool animation that goes along with it, but unfortunately, we missed that here. But the upshot is this. We have project requirements. We tie those requirements to test cases. We have, as defects come along, those defects are written against and discovered during execution of test cases. Now, because we have that traceability, we immediately know when a defect comes in, which requirements that defect impacts. So the tool that I've been alluding to all along is Rational Quality Manager. It is our implementation of the strategy that we've been talking about. Quality Manager is going to help mitigate business risk through a distributed project team collaboration platform, dynamic, customizable, test plan over a Web 2.0 interface. It's going to provide process enforcement through user-defined roles, completely customizable process workflows. Of course, it comes out of the box with excellent standard workflows, all completely customizable. And provides operational efficiency, is accomplished through automation. We're going to get to it in a minute, but Quality Manager is built on the Jazz platform. Because it is built on top of the Jazz platform, any other tool that is Jazz-enabled can be plugged right into Quality Manager. And, of course, we have many tools that are available there, but more on that shortly. And as we saw in the last slide or a couple of slides ago, project management, enterprise management is going to have visibility throughout that development life cycle so that confident decisions can be made based on real data and the state of the project. And Quality Manager is built on an open, extensible platform, integrates with third-party tools, integrates with Rational tools through that Jazz platform. Now moving on to IBM solutions that are going to help you through this space. Now this is where I might take a little bit of time. So Don, nudge me along if I spend too long here. So as we look at the different phases, requirements analysis phase, development phase, verification phase, we have a number of tools that can help you with this. So first in requirements, we have a product called Requirements Composer. And I'm going to go into a little more detail in that shortly. But basically, Requirements Composer is a tool that we use to create our requirements. It's a toolbox of software that we can use to help define our system. And as we define the requirements of that system, we want to put those requirements into a requirements management database. And for that, we have two. We have RecPro, and we have DOORS. RecPro is primarily designed and aimed at the IT space, and DOORS is primarily designed and aimed at the system space. On the development end of things, we have Rational Team Concert. This is our development collaborative platform that provides repository functionality, of course, fully integrated with our configuration management tools like ClearCase, but also comes with its own repository. It provides work item management and provides build management. And most importantly, it's all about in-context collaboration. I'm a developer sitting in Boston. I'm having trouble with something. I can't figure out how to do something. I have my workspace in front of me. Part of that workspace, and this is all Eclipse-based, of course, part of that workspace is basically a same-time view of everybody that's on my project. I ping a colleague. It doesn't matter if he's across the hall from me, across the country from me, or across the world from me. I can ping him through this workspace and immediately share my workspace with that colleague so that we can easily work together to solve a problem. Software Analyzer. Software Analyzer is a static analysis tool. This is a tool that looks at your source code in its uncompiled state and makes some, actually takes many hundreds of measurements, depending on how you have it configured, of the quality of that software. Some of those measurements are based on things like complexity. There are complexity measurements of that software, and there are established industry standards. Many enterprises establish their own standards on what those metrics should look like. So remember I said before that we want to not only measure the quality of our software based on the number of defects found in that software, but other metrics as well. Software Analyzer is going to help you do that. And at this point, I'd like to talk to a recent engagement I was on. A customer is becoming very metric-driven to improve this, to improve the quality of their products. So much so that they were interested in building the measurement of metrics into their continuous integration environment, driven by BuildForge, extracting those metrics and then putting those away in the BuildForge bill of materials so that these metrics, things like complexity, can be traced and trended over time so that they could see that they were continuously improving the quality of their software. And I picked off complexity as a metric. They had a number of metrics that were in there. Very interesting application of these technologies. On the verification end of things, we've got lots of tools that can help you out. If you're writing web apps, we've got AppScan that's going to treat your web app as a black box and probe it for hundreds, if not thousands, of known web vulnerabilities in an automated fashion. We've got Test Lab Manager. Test Lab Manager is going to help manage your test assets, whether they're real hardware assets or virtual assets. Performance Tester, Service Tester, Functional Tester, and so on, all of these tools are going to automate the testing of your application. And not mentioned here, but near and dear to my heart, is code coverage tools. On the IT side of the world, that would be Purify. So that as we run our functional tests, as we run our manual tests, we want to verify that we're testing all our code. Purify is going to help you do that. Purify is going to give you those code coverage results. And that runs on a number of platforms. If you're in the embedded world, you can get those same results out of Rational Test real time. If you're doing model-driven development with Rational Rhapsody, we can get model coverage for you with Rhapsody Test Conductor. Again, all built on the Jazz platform. Requirements Composer, I promised you a little bit more on Requirements Composer earlier. Requirements Composer is essentially a tool that we use to elicit requirements, capture requirements, elaborate, review, and discuss requirements. And it comes with a fairly extensive toolbox to help us do that. As those requirements emerge, they are going to go into our requirements management repository, Rec Pro Doors. That's really the difference between the two here. A little bit more on Quality Manager, collaboration across the test lifecycle. It's going to help you automate labor-intensive test planning tasks. A little more on that shortly. Uses an open, extensible test platform. If you have homegrown tests, basically anything that you can drive from the command line or through an API can be easily integrated into Test Manager. And of course, and I'll get to more of this in a minute, all those testing tools that we were talking about are either already on the Jazz platform, so we get basically automatic integration, or soon to be there. And of course, Quality Manager is going to help you take the quality metrics that we've been talking about. So how do we integrate Doors, or basically requirements management, with Quality Manager? Well, the first thing we need to do very early in the development lifecycle is we want to plan our tests early. We want to conduct those tests as early as possible. And most importantly, and this is through Quality Manager, we want to associate those test plans with the requirements, and that's what Quality Manager is going to do for you. Further on down the line, as defects are exposed, we want to relate those defects back through to requirements through this test plan and Quality Manager, and we want to be able to measure progress against requirements. And here we go. This is Rational Quality Manager sitting at the center of that universe. Quality Manager is going to orchestrate this process for us, provides quality dashboard along with test management, test execution, and so on, all while providing the traceability between the requirements and the test plans and test cases and integrating with defect management systems to provide full context with submitted bugs. Now, I've been talking about, I've mentioned Jazz, I think, four or five times already. Let's talk a little bit more about what Jazz is. Jazz provides a common repository for all of our software development-related artifacts. So Jazz is not really a product. It is a platform. By providing a common open repository, and it is open, all Jazz-enabled tools are easily integrated with each other. Of course, all the IBM development and testing tools are now on Jazz or quickly moving towards the Jazz platform. And because Jazz is open, any tool, including those of our competition, can be plugged into Jazz, and the number of Jazz-enabled applications outside of IBM grows longer nearly every day. Gone are the days of point-to-point integrations. So RQM is a test plan-centric tool, not artifact-centric. This provides for the logical test plan construction and management, as we see on the right-hand side of this chart. We want to construct a logical test plan with things like summary, business objectives, test objectives, requirements, of course, environments, team members, so on and so forth. And as I mentioned before, what you see on the right-hand side of the screen is the standard out-of-the-box test plan content that is available. This is completely customizable, and you can have partitioned ownership with complete role-based security for these different test plan elements. So you can have test plan owners, test plan element owners, and users, and appropriate permissions to change and run those test plans based on that. RQM provides the team and task management capabilities so that work can be assigned and tracked within the tool while being distributed across your organization and possibly around the world. So here we see an example of a team event log, individual task lists, and so on. Team and individual work progress is easily tracked and reported with Quality Manager. In many organizations, especially those with regulatory oversight, process compliance and proof of process compliance is very important. RQM provides full, reportable proof of compliance, including record of artifact reviews with digital signatures, and provides complete artifact history. I know this is very important to many of your organizations out there. Also built into Quality Manager is the notion of integrated manual test authoring and execution. And that's kind of an oxymoron, automated manual tests. But here's what it's going to do for you. Not all testing activities can be automated, or your organization may have a very large number of manual test cases that are going to take some time to automate. Quality Manager provides manual testing capability that work like this. You take those existing test cases. They're in Word. They're in a spreadsheet. They are in some other standard tool, and import them. RQM is then going to format them into its internal format, and when your test conductor, whoever it is executing this manual test case, when the test conductor begins the manual test effort, Quality Manager is going to prompt them step by step, execute this step, and so on. The test conductor says, yep, I did that, clicks a button. When verification and validation points come up, the test operator is going to be prompted to make these validations. If your system is available within the same UI that you're working on, Quality Manager is also going to pre-fill your pace buffer so that when data needs to be entered into the system, the operator simply right-clicks and pastes the data. Similarly, for verification and validation points, when we need to make that verification, the test conductor can highlight, copy that data, and Quality Manager will compare the expected value to whatever is sitting in the copy buffer. And of course, again, this is fully integrated into change management systems to quickly provide full context to the development team when bugs arise. And again, of course, every action taken by that test conductor, every time that test conductor clicks, yes, I did this step, or this step failed, or whatever, that all goes into the Quality Manager database for full reporting capabilities. Finally, RQM rolls all this data up into a dashboard, which provides complete visibility into the state of the project. You're going to see manual and functional test automation results. Performance risks are always visible and quickly resolved. You're going to get requirements versus I lost it for a second. You're going to get progress on your goal towards covering your requirements metrics in there, again, with trend lines. And, again, fully integrated with change management into the project. And that is essentially what I had today. I see that we have at least 10 minutes left for questions. I read something interesting the other day, and that is this, that when I finish a presentation like this, instead of asking any questions, I should ask, is there anything you expected to hear today that I didn't cover? So with that, I'd like to introduce Jonathan Chard, who's here to help help answer and moderate some of these questions. John, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dan.
Maybe you could give us a quick background, John?
Yes, I've been in the systems engineering, embedded systems space for about 20 years, 10 of those years in the software tools industry, most recently as a systems marketing manager with IBM Rational. So a fairly broad experience over both the requirements modeling and testing spaces.
Hi guys, Don here. Don's here too. What we want to do is, with Jonathan on board, we'll give Dan a little chance to regroup here. We'll go ahead and bring in some of the questions from the audience, and as we mentioned, we've got two experts here to handle your questions today. So if you want to bring us in something in the next couple of minutes, we'd be happy to take that on. So, Jonathan, these first couple are for you. In terms of it's sorting out a little bit of the naming conventions. So couple related questions here. How are doors and requisite pro related? Maybe we could start there.
Yeah, indeed, Don. Doors and Requisite Pro are really different tools to approach the requirements management domain. So why would you have different tools? Well, different types of project need a different approach. And I think as Dan mentioned earlier in his presentation, Doors is the really focused on the large-scale systems-type project, which is very heavily requirements-driven. Traceability is very important because you've got evolving requirements. You need to, maybe you've got very long timescales, and you need to have that detailed traceability right the way across those large-scale projects. So, it's the full scalable product for that sort of large project environment. Requisite Pro is a little bit more agile. It's based basically in the sort of daily practitioner tools of the Word style interface. So, and it's very well suited to more agile IT type projects. But again, it's horses for courses. Use the tool that is appropriate to your environment. Both of them integrate into the quality management environment and give you that same life cycle traceability, which is so important when you're looking to really get a handle on project control and ironing those defects out according to your customer and your stakeholder requirements.
Does that play into the idea of a large project versus a small project? I think I heard you say Doors was meant for one use, maybe scaling the development to the tool?
I guess, yes, Doors has been deployed in some extremely large projects with literally thousands of desktops accessing that central database. Requisite Pro is also scalable, but it tends to be used in somewhat less large-scale projects.
And on a related note, another question is, how did Rhapsody and Test Conductor work together? And then we'll ask a similar follow-up question on the test environments for Dan.
That's a very pertinent question, because a lot of what I'm hearing these days is about how do we bring quality assurance and quality management across the entire development life cycle. It's not just about one aspect of it. It's certainly not just about testing things at the end of the life cycle. And Rhapsody is IBM's solution for UML modeling, largely aimed at the systems and embedded space, but it's really about raising the productivity of complex systems development by raising the level of abstraction. So Rhapsody itself allows designers to improve their productivity. Test Conductor is doing the same thing at the complex systems testing phase. So it's taking the testing, which traditionally in embedded systems has been a very code-based activity, it's raising the level of abstraction to the model-based approach and then allowing you to drive that testing from the UML model-driven environment. So how does that relate to what we've been talking about in this webcast, that is the requirements-driven quality management approach? Well, really, there are two key touch points. One is that you can relate through traceability into the requirements tools. You can relate your modeling and requirements. And the second touch point is integration between Test Conductor and the Rational Quality Manager, which enables you to both drive the systems testing activity and capture live data from that testing activity, results data, into your quality management environment. So very closely integrated into a life cycle approach.
Okay, let's try one for Dan. That's a good segue into our test environment question. So Dan, you mentioned you can automate some of this, but some of it kind of has to go manually. If you have a lot of specialized tools and equipment, do you have to capture all the data manually? Talk a little bit more about the manual versus automatic as far as the test management solution goes.
I personally believe that if you apply enough sweat and effort, you can automate nearly everything. However, an awful lot of our customers are going to require manual testing, especially when hardware is involved. So at some level of integration, there's a piece of hardware, and the user interaction with that hardware is fingers on buttons, physical buttons. So at that point, manual testing and manual test procedures, at least for final integration testing, is unavoidable. Anytime we can test at an API level, for instance, like for unit testing, or if we can inspect results at some sort of either API level or through some kind of screen scraping technologies, or through all the way down to capturing pixels and comparing the expected picture to a picture that was stored away, or capturing pixels and interpreting those pixels in some way to compare against an expected result. We've got tools all across that spectrum for performing those kinds of analysis, but there are certain points where manual testing is unavoidable.
Okay, great. And there's a question about two other tools in your suite, Purify and Quantify, profiling and dynamic analysis. Could you explain a little bit about those?
Purify is a memory profiling tool that we use to find things like memory leaks, writing into uninitialized memory, and so on. And Quantify is a performance management tool. Both very powerful. Having spent 20 years in the trenches, Purify especially, I always thought of the sledgehammer I kept in my back pocket as a developer when my app is crashing and I have no idea what's going on. Normally that's a memory issue. We point Purify at it, and it will, 9 times out of 10, point me right to the line of code where I was committing the offense, normally writing into unallocated memory. Purify, similarly, on the performance side, the adoption of these tools as quality measurements, I think, is still evolving. Certainly, an important metric we can collect is memory leak statistics and doing things like writing into unallocated memory. These are all quality measurements that are very important, and we shouldn't be doing any of that. So the adoption of these tools beyond the developer as measures of quality, I believe, is now emerging, especially with all the other static analysis tools we have coming along, and especially with the pure coverage that I mentioned, getting those that code coverage statistics against our suite of tests is very important. And I think we're going to see these emerge from simply developer sledgehammers into metrics gathering tools. And I have to mention, on the embedded side, all those capabilities are available from test real time.
Yeah, I was going to close you with that question here, but I got one for John, and then I'll have one more for Dan. Really quick, John, do these products need client installations? That was the subject we were talking about a little bit before the call. Quickly go through what requires client installations or not. Do these products actually need a client installation?
RQM, the simple answer is no. It's an entirely web-based application, the idea being to bring that onto a central server platform, very pertinent to a lot of organizations as things get more complicated and you want to have access to this sort of tooling in many different environments. So it simply becomes a web interface. The DAWS product today does require a client installation, but as products are migrated into the world of Jazz platform, then that too becomes a Web 2.0 clientless situation.
Great, excellent. And one more for Dan, and I want to emphasize we have seen all your questions. Presenters will get a chance to look at those after the event. In the interest of time, though, we'll close out with one more. So, Dan, a little bit more. We actually had an audience member ask this as well. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the difference in approach between enterprise and embedded projects? Do the tools vary? I mean, there's some target-based tools, obviously, in the embedded side, but as far as the higher level modeling and code quality, what differences do you see between embedded development and enterprise development?
I personally see, from a theoretical level, it's all the same. You know, we want to tie requirements to test plans. We want to tie test plans to test cases. We want that traceability throughout the life cycle. Where things change are in the tools that we use. If an organization wants to adopt modeling on the embedded side, I would absolutely recommend Rhapsody as a tool. On the IT side, I'd look at Rational Software Architect, not only because RSA is the modeling capabilities are more applicable to the IT side, but RSA also comes with lots of other out-of-the-box functionality that's applicable over there and on down the line. Requirements management, there are different flavors of products available out there. Testing tools, absolutely. The products that we apply to testing target versus in the IT space are two different flavors of animals that that are that much different that they have been spread out into different tools. Requirements management, I covered that. And that's pretty much it. Theory's the same. Tools are a little different.
And I do think that's true, that there's really not, if you get out of, get some of the specifics of the embedded development platform, that the tools and methodologies are very common at the higher levels between these. And it's something an embedded developer should think about is more of the higher level tools as projects get bigger. Anyway, we've had a great discussion on how a focus on software quality, traceability, and collaboration reduces costs from our featured guest, Dan Rasmussen, and also joined by Jonathan Chard. Thanks to both of them for sharing their expertise and to IBM for sponsoring this presentation. This event and other eCasts are archived at the URL also shown on your screen. Archived eCasts can be replayed at your convenience. We'd enjoy hearing how we did with today's program. Please contact us at the email address shown. To the person who works constantly to make this happen, Christine Long, a big thanks as always, and thanks to all of you for being with us during this event. Please join us again. On behalf of our guests and all of us here at Open Systems Media, this is Don Dingy saying find something good, build something better, and help someone be happy today. See you soon.